We'll try that again. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. We're glad that you're here to spend an hour of worship together. Are there any announcements that need to be made?
I want to call your attention again to the benefit auction, which is this Thursday evening at Pine Village. We are one of the constituent churches that should be supporting them, and we're going to have a great meal at 5 o'clock, and the auction begins at 7. Our basket, which our church was responsible for making, is online. The baskets are online. Some of the tickets, like to the KU games, are online, so you can bid online. Our basket is up to $130 already, so it's doing well. Remember the dinner at 5 o'clock in the Wellness Center at Mound Ridge at Pine Village, and the auction at 7. There are a lot of other neat things you can bid on.
Rebecca Harrell is our mission partner. Her family sent us cards with her picture on it, and also sent us a very lovely note with her address on it also at the bottom. And it also, if you read it, she said she would like correspondence. And we've moved it all out here to this bulletin board out here in the front hallway so you all can see it and take advantage of that.
Meat canning is coming up pretty soon. Our time will be Friday, November 3. I put flyers in your mailboxes, so please pick those up. Next Sunday, there will be a sign-up sheet, so you can look at that and pick your time to come work at meat canning. Other announcements? If not, then let's sing our first hymn as call to worship, number 288, I believe. The call to worship is in the bulletin, so we would read that responsively. Before we do that, though, I want to acknowledge that Barry Bartell and Angie Williams are with us, and we welcome you. I should have done that a little earlier, but things slip my mind sometimes. So we do welcome you and look forward to to hearing from you after a bit. So the call to worship, read responsibly with me. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness by evident to all, the Lord is near. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Sing the Journey book, number 27, verses 1, 3, and 5. Another song. Let's sing another one. In the worship book, number 91, please.
Thank you.
Shall we pray? Lord, we are gathered to worship you this morning. Accept our praises. Give open minds and hearts to hear what you have to tell us today. Amen. As affirmation of faith, we'll turn to the 23rd Psalm. I would ask, though, that maybe you put the books down and not read it with me. I will read it, and I would like for you to listen to it and see if you hear something in there that you have not heard before. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and there are so many doing that these days, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepared a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. You've anointed my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Reading from Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again in parables, saying, The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call all those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying, Tell those who have been invited, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged and sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his slaves, The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways and as many as you find there, invite them to the wedding feast. And those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw there was one man not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and cast him into the outer darkness, in that place where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.
Let us worship God by receiving the offering now for the mission of the church, and for the local church, and for the broader mission. Amen.
Thank you.
you pray with me, please? Lord God, we know that what we bring to you is already yours. May it be used wisely for your mission. May we remember that what we have not brought this morning is also yours, and may it also be used wisely for your mission. Amen. Time for sharing joys and concerns. I think Gary will have the microphone. And then we will also want a clip-on mic. Do you have a clip-on mic that you can... Oh, you've got it already. You're all set. Very good. Any prayer requests or items for sharing?
I'd like us to remember the John Hudson family. He lost his wife, Carol, this Friday. He was a teacher at the high school. He was referred to as Huddy. And Carol passed away on Friday, so please remember that him and his family.
I would just like to say thank you for all of the support this church has given to Shannon and to Xander this last month and a half. They are both doing well. Shannon has finally gotten the wound vac off. She says, I'm no longer with my purse and tail. She's just very happy about that. And she's doing very well. She goes back to work tomorrow. And Xander is growing like a weed, but everybody's fine. And so thank you for all the gifts, the cards, and the prayers that you have supported her with. They're really appreciated.
This is Harvest Thanks Sunday, and I have been harvesting this past week, but one of the things that happens within all the effort and the toil, one forgets where these gifts come from. And the song this morning that we sang, number 91, was just perfect as a reminder for what it all means.
We thank God for safe travel. We were at Washington State for their MCC relief sale. My sister is legally blind, if you didn't know that, but Jan was there to help her. Jan worked her tail off, and I kind of stood by and watched. But it was a very successful sale. The last amount I heard was $120,000. And that's just on the churchyard there. So it's a very successful weekend. Thank you for your prayers for safe travel.
We were blessed to have some friends from Kansas City spend the day with us yesterday and in the night. She mentioned that her mom had her cancer has returned. She had some ovarian cancer that she had beaten. Now, just several weeks ago, they found some more. So, just prayers with her. What's her name? Sandy Strickland. Cora went to college and lived in Kansas City with her daughter Molly for a while.
Anything else?
Marie and Andrea aren't here. I'll give a little report on Marie. She went in and she's having surgery on the 19th, and it looks very They didn't do a scan yet. They're going to wait till after they do the surgery. They think everything looks really good towards that. So I think prayers keep going up, though.
We bow in prayer, please. We come to you this morning, Lord, sometimes knowing just how to pray when there is such turmoil and pain and suffering and homelessness in our nation and in our world. We know that we are created by you. We also know that we are loved by you and cared for by you. May those who are hurting feel a special sense of your presence. In our own church, Lord, as we further our mission here and seek to find clarity in it, be with us, give us direction, give us courage to stand tall in your faith and to move forward. Be with search committee as they do their work, and through your leading, bring someone to us who will work with us in furthering your kingdom. Lord, the John Hudson family is going through a time of pain and loss. May they feel your presence. We rejoice with Shannon that she is doing well and the youngster is growing. We thank you that they can be welcomed as a part of your family. We are grateful for harvest, for the good gifts that come from you. We are grateful for safe travel for Ben and Jan and for a successful sale, proceeds of which also we hope and pray will be used wisely in your service. For Eric and Cora's friend Sandy, may your healing hand be with her. May she know your presence. And with Marie also, Lord, as she looks forward to really a time of healing and of answers, may she sense your presence and also the closeness of this body. Thank you, Lord, that we are in your circle of love wherever we are. May you give us a sense of peace. In Christ's name, amen. Now, if the youngsters would gather coins and bring them forward, Barry has a children's story for you, so when you bring them here, then maybe come sit on the floor, and he will have a story for you.
Verses 34 through 38. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me, and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, 'There are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest?' Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages, and is gathering fruit for eternal life. And he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case the saying is true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that you for that which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor."
welcome, Barry. Thank you for a wonderful trip. We'll try to keep our fingers and our toes out of the water, and we welcome the message you'll bring.
Well, good morning. It's real good to be with you here this morning. I've been in your congregation before when I was president of Bethel College, and it's special to be back. I am on the board of the Mennonite Mission Network, and we have our board meetings once a quarter in different parts of the country where we can interact and visit churches that support the work of Mennonite Mission Network. And so we are meeting in Wichita yesterday and again this afternoon, and then we'll meet in Newton on Monday before we disperse back to our communities again. And then next time we'll meet somewhere else, perhaps in Goshen, and be meeting out in Fresno later in the year, actually next year. And so it's special to be able to visit your congregation and to share the word of the Lord with you this morning and to get to know you some as well. Angie Williams is a new member of the Mennonite Mission Network Board. And so because this is her first set of meetings with the board, she was not asked to go visit a church and speak. She is a gifted speaker, a chaplain, and does retreat settings and a speaker in many kinds of settings. So it's really a missed opportunity for you. But she's here this morning to interact, and we'll look forward to staying for the potluck, and you can get to know her then. And then she'll be speaking when she's with us in other board meetings. I'd like to really thank you for your support of the church and of Mennonite Mission Network. I understand that you supported through the Mennonite, service teams, Joe Sawatsky. Is he someone that you all know well? Okay. Joe now is living in Indiana and is actually on the staff of Mennonite Mission Network. And so partly through your support, I think his passion for ministry has continued, and he now is on the staff of our mission network. And also, I understand that you're supporters of Wes and Deb Bergen. Have they been here in the congregation speaking with you? You all know them? Okay. I had understood that you're supporters of the Bergens in their Bible study that Wes does in Ghana. And we appreciate that support and the support that you give in many different ways to Mennonite Mission Network. In our meetings, we were looking at our general, what we call an ends statement, or what is the goal that we as Mennonite Mission Network are striving to achieve. And so we spent some time looking at that yesterday because we want to make sure that the words and guidance that we give to staff really reflects what we want it to reflect. So let me just share the one key phrase that guides all of the work that we do. That guidance is that people of all cultures are transformed by Jesus Christ to experience social, physical, and spiritual wholeness. How's that sound to you? I think if we can accomplish that, we've done something significant. And we do that by partnering with you and with many other churches throughout this country. And so I appreciate, and we express our appreciation for your support in that way. You know, the trip that I took the children on this morning was actually a real trip that we took as a family. From Bolivia out to a village that had requested that MCC come and work with them. And it was quite a trip that last Christmas that we were there. And we literally did, as we were going back up the river, look for that sign at Capahediato. And this picture that is up here, you might take a look at it later, is a picture of our son and daughter sitting at that sign after we had been there for their New Year's celebration and feast, and were waiting for the boat to come and pick us up to leave. Now, they were going to take us out on dugout canoes, but they decided because it had rained so much the night before that there were large logs floating down the river and it wouldn't be safe to try and depart in dugout canoes. And so we decided we'd wait for one of these boat taxis, a little bit larger boat like what we had ridden up to the community in. And we were told that the boats don't come by every day. And in fact, we've had workers in crew that waited for up to a week for their boat to come. And so we went out to the river and literally sat on the bank of the river for the boat to come. It was interesting, as we had stayed there for a couple of days, and our daughter, who was 12 at the time, as we started to pack up to leave, she said, "Dad, why do we have to leave so soon?" She had really enjoyed being there and playing with the children of the Oshanika community, even though they didn't speak the same language. We were fortunate that as we waited for the boat, about an hour into our wait, we saw a boat on the other side of the river. This is a large river, and we're able to flag it down so that it came across and picked us up. That was a real boat adventure that we took as a family. But I've also been on a kind of an adventure in my own life, always trying to follow where God is leading me. And so I'll just give you an update that even the information that Connie got from the webpage and is in your bulletin is already just a little bit out of date, because while I am a licensed lawyer and have some consulting work that I do in the Denver area, I have recently transitioned to a different role. I was in law practice in a large law firm in Denver for the last 7 years. Earlier this year, work had gotten fairly slow, and it had gotten slow for many of us in the firm, and so they asked a consultant to come in and help us think about business development in our law practice group. And so we were in a conference room, and the first thing that the person asked us to do was to think about what you are passionate about in your work. Well, everybody else started to write down things that they were passionate about, and I had to pause and reflect about whether that was really what was bringing me passion at that time. One thing led to another, and I decided to actually start exploring what other opportunities there might be. And there were some really interesting connections that started happening, which led to me accepting a position as executive director of the Ecumenical Project for International Cooperation, where I'll be able to continue living and working west of Denver, and working from there and having significant involvement in Latin America. That was a small organization, and I'll be a little bit less than full-time at that, and so another opportunity came up when our Mountain Statesmen and I conference decided to adopt a three-person conference ministry team, and so I have just begun in that role as well just a few weeks ago. And so my journey has taken another turn and going back up a different river, and I'm excited about that opportunity and to continue being a part of the Mennonite Mission Network board. My wife's not able to be with me this morning. She is visiting her mother in Aberdeen, Idaho, her mother, who happens to be Cindy and John's aunt. And so there's a family connection there as well. And my mother grew up in the Ritzville church, in the Mennonite church. And so I have a lot of family that were at the NCC sale there as well. And so a lot of reporting on Facebook. So I don't know what you think of the scripture that Richard read for you this morning. Is that something you've heard preached about a lot here in your congregation? You don't think so? Well, I haven't studied a lot either until a couple of years ago. I was asked to be the Harvest Mission Festival speaker in Aberdeen, Idaho. And so I was there for a weekend of talks and sharing of our journey and of the scriptures with the Aberdeen Mennonite Church. And my attention was drawn to this scripture. As Aberdeen had come through a time of harvest as well. Just as Richard talked about waiting for the harvest, and the harvest time here is coming and going in this season. I've been thinking about harvest. And that got me thinking about biblical metaphors for agriculture. So I thought about those metaphors as I thought about this scripture in preparing for this Sunday's message, and I wanted to share three things with you that fascinate me about this scripture. First of all, I'm fascinated by language. I've told stories many times of humorous mistakes that I've made using language, and you can see that I've had various opportunities to do that. One of those was when I visited the Argentine Mennonite Church in Buenos Aires. When my Spanish was not yet strong, I was still learning, and the pastor knew that. Later, I would have been asked to preach in that church and in other churches in Latin America, but he knew my Spanish wasn't strong enough for that, so he asked me to come to the front of the church to interview me. And so he asked me some simple questions. First he asked me, ¿Cómo se llama? He asked me my name. I said, Barry. And then he asked me, ¿Eres casado? He asked me, ¿Are you married? And I said, not very much. I always confuse the words casado, which is married, and cansado, which is tired. And so I thought he had asked me, are you tired? And I said, well, not very much. But he had actually asked me, are you married? And so when I said, "Are not very much, it was amusing to the congregation. I've studied enough biblical Greek to also be dangerous. But that is not the only type of language that matters. In law practice, I learned a different language of the marketable product rule for oil and gas production. That's another language. And maybe some of you speak a different language, even though we'd call it English, but speak a different language in your place of work. We could have some fun with this. I did some searching on the internet for some slang terms. Now, these aren't crude, they're just slang. There are a lot of them that I can't talk about in church, that's true. But do you know what it means when something is a whoopin' soccer? That's a slang term used in Wisconsin to describe something wonderful of its kind. Like, this taco is a real whoopin' soccer. So if you think that my children's story this morning was really good, you can tell me later, that was a real whoopin' soccer of a children's story. Or do you know some of the new words in Webster's dictionary? You know, hashtag by now? Or selfie? How about tweet? How about crowdfunding? Big data? Gamification? If you don't know these new words, you'll want to look them up. Or try listening to a teen rap song. Talk about a different language. Now imagine that the lyrics of one of those songs held the key to your understanding of the world. That is what it is like for someone trying to understand certain scriptures that are written using language and metaphors that have become unfamiliar. That's because we are also losing some words, or at least some understandings. I couldn't find a survey in Kansas or even in the United States, but my guess is that there would be similar results to this 2012 survey in Great Britain. 1 in 10 young adults thought that eggs come from wheat. Fewer than half of the 16 to 23-year-olds know that butter comes from a dairy cow. A third of them are unaware that eggs are laid by hens. 1 in 5 believes that jam and marmalade come from cereal crops. 10% of young adults said that potatoes took less than a month to grow. 8% said that bacon came from wheat. Talk about losing an understanding of some agricultural terms. And that's exactly my point. The Bible is full of images and metaphors that made sense to people at the time. In order for us to understand what a scripture passage means today, we must understand the context and what it meant at the time. My guess is that almost everyone in this sanctuary either grew up on a farm. How many grew up on a farm? Has worked on a relative's farm, or has enjoyed vegetable gardening. In some way, you're connected with the earth. That heritage matters, even in understanding Scripture. And so I think on this Harvest Mission Festival weekend, it's important. Let me try a different kind of example. In our mission, Mennonite Mission Network meetings over the past 2 years, we have heard from a family serving in Ecuador among a tribe that still hunts with bows and arrows. It's a family that lives in Goshen half of the year and in a tribal community in Ecuador the other half of the year. It reminds me, frankly, of James Crable, who was on staff with Mennonite Mission Network, who said that when he went to Africa early in his mission career, he had to reread the Bible. It was still in English, but he had to reread the Bible from an African perspective. Well, in this Ecuadorian community, they don't know what sheep are. And so if they see an animal the size of a sheep, it might be a deer or some other kind of animal, and you know what they would try and do? They would try and kill it for food. They have no concept of a shepherd caring for his sheep. And so to tell the biblical stories of shepherds, one must understand what they meant to be able to translate them into stories that make sense in that context. That's one reason that it was a special experience for us to live in a rural village in Haiti. Our village had one spring where everyone would go to get fresh water for drinking. It's like the wells in biblical times. When you have a chance, read the whole of John chapter 4. It starts with the story of Jesus talking with a Samaritan woman at the well where people would go to draw water. That image is different when you have experienced something different. And here's a specific example about harvest. Harvest teaches the balance between, I think Richard will understand this. Harvest teaches the balance between patience and urgency. When the wheat is ready to harvest, you harvest. But if it rains, you wait. I witnessed that here in Kansas just last week. The milo was ready for harvest. Farmers were ready. The equipment was ready. It was time. But the day I was there, the heavy rains, day after day, had kept farmers out of the fields. That very tension is present in our scripture this morning. We must wait 4 months for the harvest. But the harvest is ready now. Understanding harvest helps us interpret what Jesus is trying to say. Those who have lost a connection to the ground and to harvest and to the agricultural metaphors of Scripture have a hard time understanding that. Second, John 4 talks about sowers and reapers. Who are the sowers? And who are the reapers? In the words of verse 38, who are the others who have done the hard work so that we may reap the benefits of their labor? I think there are several layers to this. First, I have suggested that there are two key rules of mission. As a board member for Mennonite Mission Network, I've tried to boil it down to what I think are two key rules of mission. First, make sure that we recognize God in the other. Sometimes that's not so easy to do, but that's a key rule for mission. And second, make sure that others can recognize God in us. I believe, as Deuteronomy 31:8 says, that God goes before us and God goes with us. As Willis Horace, working in the Argentine Chaco, reflected on his decades of mission work, he said, I went out to help others convert to Jesus and discovered that I was also converted in the process. I realized that those to whom I had gone were already engaged in a spiritual journey long before Western missionaries ever arrived on the scene. Just as we discussed with the children, God goes before us and has planted seeds in the hearts of men and women. There's another aspect of those who have gone before us and sown the seeds that are ready for harvest. Many of these, Jesus says, have done the hard work, are unexpected, and would come as a surprise to us. We have a perfect example in John chapter 4. I mentioned that the first part of the chapter deals with the Samaritan woman at the well. No one would expect a Samaritan woman to plant the seeds of the kingdom. Yet the verse after the five verses that Richard read for us says that many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. That surely was not expected. Those who have gone before, those who have planted the seeds that will result in the harvest, include God, who goes before us, models in our Mennonite heritage, and even many whom we would not expect. And so third, what is this harvest anyway? It's tempting to think of a harvest like a quantifiable amount, like bushels of wheat or bushels of corn. Then we could even compare how much you harvested to how much I harvested. But Jesus gives us a twist in the language. How can it be that it is still 4 months until harvest, and yet the fields are ripe for harvest now? and most other biblical references to harvest, it is a future, hoped-for event. Here Jesus tells us that it is both future and it is present. In that way, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God and helping us realize that it is not simply something we hope for, but something we experience. We experience it now, and Jesus told us how. Jesus said that his food, his inspiration, his motivation is what? Jesus does not draw his inspiration from hoping or believing, but he tells us how to plant and harvest at the same time. Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who has sent me and to finish his work." Doing God's will because God has gone before us. Living our lives in a way that shows that Jesus is Lord. So how can we think about the verse in relation to the scripture that we read this morning? I don't think Jesus was necessarily talking about the kind of altar call that we might experience in some settings. Those are genuine ways to experience a transformation toward a life with Jesus. But to think of harvest in that way puts the emphasis on us. And I don't think that's where it should be. That leads to the main point that I hope you remember about harvest. That plowing and sowing and harvesting reminds us that God is at the center of the universe. Let me explain why I think that verse reminds us of that. Many of us have phones that look like this one. When I was growing up, it was science fiction for Dick Tracy to speak into his wrist and have someone far away hear what he said. But now we all do that. I discovered not too long ago that my phone was actually counting the steps that I was taking. I didn't ask it to do that, I don't think. It just started doing it. It used to be that we could take things apart and even fix them. Kansas farmers know how a combine works, and if a farmer was put in a room with all the parts for a combine, eventually he could put that combine together. I don't even know if this phone can be taken apart. I surely have no idea how it actually communicates with your phone or with phones in another country. Yet I know that it does. And I am confident that if I dialed a number right now, it would work. It's almost as if I have faith in what I can't see or understand. But that is where it is important to remember plowing and sowing and harvesting. You see, with the amazing things that men and women can do, and with our faith in what we do not understand, it seems tempting to start proclaiming the wonders of man and women. In Psalm 45, David proclaimed, "Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done." We don't say it, but do we start thinking that people can do all things? And do we start believing that many are the wonders that men and women have done? God is not in that picture. But then there is the seed. I realize that men and women can genetically modify seeds and do amazing things with chromosomes. But the agricultural cycle, the life that comes from the seed, reminds us that God is at the center of the universe. No matter what kinds of combines we can take apart and put together, no matter what kind of cell phones that we can use without understanding, just having confidence that somehow it will work, God alone gives life. As we sing about plowing and planting, let us remember that God is at the center of the universe. We plow the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. God sends the snow in winter, the warmth to swell the grain, the breezes and the sunshine, and soft, refreshing rain. Our role is to do the will of God, so that we live the tension and the excitement of the kingdom of God, not only as a future we hope for, but as a reality we live today. May it be so. And we'd open our hymn books to the song, "We Plow the Fields and Scatter." I don't have the number with me up here. 96.
Bow together for prayer. In this season of harvest, may we be filled with gratitude, and in this season of planting, may faith and trust abound. Let's stand for the song of sending. That's number 395. Go in love, for love alone endures. Go in peace, for it is the gift of God. Go in safety, for you cannot go where God is not. Go in peace.